Blog Talk Radio.
Prepare for launch in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the breakbeat. We make heat to blaze streets with these words. Whether you in the burbs or in the hood, on the street, curb or corner, crossing all the borders in your mental state. Elevation taking or falling line like the interstate. Finna take you on a journey like the Zelda game. Painting perfect pictures without the cellophane. A pill of pains brings us stay with destruction. And we're here with ideas for construction. Critiquing critics with cynics with deliverance. Demolish demons and spirits to make the network like Linux. Leverage your position. Listen, when I drop wisdom with the gods missing in a big pot to pissing. Giving all I got to give it to spirit info. Stimulate your mental over instrumental. Trying to reach my kinfo. Tired of the cheap talk. Gotta get informed and spread a message of free thought. Separate the name, the break represents the news and issues we use to discuss a new concept. The beat is how I rearrange and change the presentation so it isn't as complex together. Introduce topics, micro, macroscopic, with a little logic and perspective. Educate, entertain, graffiti on your brain so the step forward change before I make my exit on the break beat.
Oh, man. And the kid is back. What's going on, everybody? It's been a long time coming. I feel like I've been away for forever. I mean, truthfully, it hasn't really been that long. However, it feels like I've been away for a really long time. And I'm just glad to be back. I'm glad to be here. The breakbeat is in full effect. I didn't go anywhere. I'm not dead. I'm not gone. I mean, I was gone for a while, but again, like I said, I'm back. Tonight's show is going to be a bit different from all of the past ones just because it's not really going to be a real show. What I wanted to do was to give you guys some updates on what's been going on with me. Give you some updates on the show itself and give you some information about the next couple shows because I have the next I think 3 shows are already planned out. So I wanted to provide some backstory and some insight into those. I wanted to talk a little bit about my mixtape, you know, that comes out in it's Wednesday, about 9 days from now. And we're going to talk about 300 sandwiches. If you don't know what that's about, then, well, just wait till later in the show, and we'll get you acquainted with what 300 sandwiches is all about. before I get into all of that, I just want to first express a public thank you to Kim, Raina, and everyone else associated with Black Freethinkers Radio for being super, super patient with me as I've been, you know, going through a really trying, troubling time for the past 2 months, I guess, if you will, probably month and a half. And, you know, they've been really supportive, really appreciative, and, you know, despite the fact that I may not act like it, their kind words, you know, meant a lot to me. And so I wanted to first publicly thank everyone here because, you know, without them, you know, I probably would still be feeling really down and whatnot. And they definitely helped me out a lot. And, like, it makes me feel really good to know that I have really amazing people in my corner. You know what I mean? You know, not everyone out there is really lucky to have, you know, really amazing people who, you know, while may not have known each other that long or may not even have known each other beyond, you know, online, it's still really amazing to have, you know, to know that these people have got your back and they've got your back, you know, even more so than people that I grew up with, that I associate with, or that I even may be related to. And that means a whole lot. So, first, I wanted to definitely thank all of them. I also wanted to thank all my listeners, all my homies, and everyone else that's out there who had pretty kind words to say to me. I really do appreciate everything. One thing that I always try to do when it comes to social media, because I don't really like people being in my business all that much, so a lot of times I just continue to tweet and post on Facebook as if nothing is really wrong. Because, you know, I don't really like putting stuff out there, you know, and then people feel like they have to come, you know, express sympathy or be like, oh, poor baby. You know, I'm not a big fan of that and whatnot. So I tried to, you know, keep as much under wraps as I could, but I had a really bad breakdown recently, and like I was really on the edge of my wits and whatnot, and like talking to a lot of close people that I know and, you know, and friends of mine and people that, although they're not blood, I would consider family, definitely brought me out of that dark time. And, you know, everything's not perfect, but you know what? I'm in a better mental state than I was before, and changes are on the way, and I'm feeling rejuvenated. I'm feeling feeling confident, and I'm just feeling good. And so, that being said, I'm super appreciative of everything and everybody out there, whether you're listening live, listening to the archives, or whatever the case may be, or you downloaded this on iTunes. So, again, thank you, and I will strive to do my best as not only an MC, but as a host and as the host of the Breakbeat to provide you with educational content, enlightening content, and entertaining content. You know, that's what I try to do here. The E3 policy. All righty. Whew. Now I got that out the way. Whew. Don't do too much, you know, emotional venting on there like that. Let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that I've got going on right now. First and foremost, in 2 weeks from today, Gonna have the first actual return show, which is gonna be called Debunking the Friend Zone. Gonna have a panel. I have two guests already, who are already slated to be on my panel. One of which being Raina Rhodes of the RSS feed, Saturdays. Just a side note. Go listen to her show. Go peep the archives. Go check it out. Apparently, her show this past Saturday was a real doozy, and I unfortunately was unable to listen, and I still haven't had the chance to go back and listen to it, but I definitely plan to. So, you know, make sure you guys go ahead and go and do that. And Vivian Whitley, who is a feminist blogger, and the name of her blog escapes me at the moment. I will definitely get that in a second. Ooh, excuse me. But I definitely have the two of them are going to be on my panel, and we're going to discuss the whole concept of the friend zone, the nice guy / nice girl myth, and we're going to go in, and it's going to be a pretty phenomenal show, and I'm very, very, very much looking forward to this show especially. It kind of came, you know, recently. It was a recent thought, but it's definitely one that I feel like, you know, needs to be discussed, you know. One of the things I always said I wanted to do with my platform was I always wanted to, use my platform to allow other people to discuss their experiences and their perspectives, because their voices matter just as much as mine does. And that's part of the reason that I'm going to have, instead of me just talking about nice guys, I'm gonna nice guys. I'm gonna have, you know, some women come on and talk about their experience with quote nice guys. So that's gonna take place 2 weeks from now, October 9th. Mark your calendars, and that'll be at 8 p.m. And unlike tonight, that will actually be a two-hour show. Tonight's show is only about an hour and a half. Kind of depends on however long I decide to let this go. Figured an hour and a half would be a decent amount of time. But again, so October 9th, we're going to be discussing that one. Then 2 weeks after that, which would be October 23rd, so a little less than a month from now, I'm going to be discussing something very dear to my heart, and it's a subject that I, for a long time I've been wanting to discuss, and I've never really got the chance to do it. And for some reason, and it just occurred to me the other day that I have to do a show about it specifically on this network, because I know no one else here has spoken about it, and I believe that it's a really, 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 really important topic, you know. And I'm going to talk about a form of modern-day slavery, otherwise known as the NCAA. And my intention for that show is, in theory, I would like to get two guests to come on, one who supports paying players, playing college athletes. Hello? Okay. Not exactly sure what just happened there. Had some technical difficulties. I thought it might have been my internet, but that turned out to not be the case. So, I'm not really sure what happened there. In any case, I'm not really sure whether it got disconnected, so I'll go back a little bit. So, October 23rd, I want to do a show on the NCAA, aka another form of modern day slavery. I want to go in depth on that show and talk about, you know, the ethics of pay for play, and I also want to debunk a lot of the reasons that they say that they can't, that players don't need to be paid. I mean, they say things along the lines of, oh, they're getting a free education. Yeah, free education. They don't need to get paid. Which is, you know, BS, but okay. So we're gonna go into that, and we're gonna go in depth with that. Looking to put together a panel for that also. If not a panel, I definitely want to do a debate style, where I have one person who's for and one person who's against. And while I am against it, while I am for paying the players, I don't want to be like the voice for that side. I'd rather be the arbiter and have other people, and I just kind of chime in with commentary and questions and that. So that will take place on October 23rd. So 4 weeks from now, around a month from now, mark your calendars, go get it done, because we're gonna have a whole lot of fun on that show. Never thought I'd really get a chance to talk sports on here. And fortunately, I will get to talk sports, but not just talk sports in the way like, oh, who's the greatest, but talk about it from a perspective that is actually much bigger than just the game itself. So that will be October 23rd. And then 2 weeks after that, which, I want to say it's the 23rd, so that's November 6th. November 6th, I'm finally going to have the show on passive racism at anime conventions and, I guess, nerdy conventions in general. Finally going to have that done for Wednesday, November 6th. So right at the beginning of the month. So that's 6 weeks from now. It's kind of crazy how fast this year has gone. I have a panel put together for that. So, you know, definitely look out for that for Wednesday, November 6th. In case you're unfamiliar, you know, I'll try to provide a little bit of insight and information on that beforehand, because there are a couple terms and terminology, and there'll be things that you need to know beforehand. For example, what an otaku is, which is someone who's into Japanese animation. You know, so, I mean, and then I also have to kind of break down, like, the kind of stuff that goes on at conventions. So, that'll also have to take place. So, but fortunately, you got 6 weeks to prepare. It's no different from knowing that it's the end of the semester, and you know that your final is coming up. You know that you need to study so you can be ready for it. But that'll be taking place. That will be taking place then. So, like I said, be on the lookout for that. And those will be the next three. Those will be the next three shows. And hopefully, what I would like to do is I would like to start, you know, planning these shows far enough in advance that I can promote them beforehand, so that word of mouth can get known. The second thing I want to do is I want to start up a new Facebook page. I had a Facebook page that was up, but obviously, I mean, if you haven't noticed, my original co-host is not currently here anymore, and I've taken over sole control of the show by itself. So once that, you know, left, kind of like the fan page essentially kind of went away. So I'm going to start a new one. And on this new one, I would like to promote the shows, post articles, provide lots of information, have discussions. Like there's a lot that I would like this page to become. And so whenever I get a chance to start it, I will definitely do that. In fact, I'll probably do it right after I finish this program, where I can focus on typing and making sure all the information that's there is there. So so I have a couple things at play here for this show in particular. And I would definitely love for all of them to come into fruition, because I enjoy doing this show. I mean, most of the people who listen to this show don't listen live. They listen to the archives, and that's fine. But I enjoy doing this show, and so I want to make sure that I do as much to make this show fun even when we're not on air. So whether that's through discussion on the page, memes, you know, advice columns, or just posting really cool stuff I find on the internet. You know, that's what I want the page to become. So, excuse me. So, that's definitely going to be in the works. Definitely be on the lookout for that. Once I have that page set up, I will probably be spamming. I'll probably be spamming that, so make sure you go do that. Speaking of fan pages, all of you should make a conscious effort to go look at my Facebook fan page for my artist page, my MC Brooks artist page. It's where the C is uppercase. Go like it. Go like my page. peep some of the statuses, some of the photos, and some of the links and whatnot. Proud to announce that my third and final mixtape, because I highly doubt I'm going to put the energy into putting another free product out. My third one comes out next Friday. Next Friday, October 4th, my third project will be out and about for you all to enjoy. I can definitely say that, for one, I'm glad, because I'm tired of these songs. So I'm already tired of them. I've been listening to them. I've had these things in my ears since July, I want to say. About June, July, I've had all 15 of these songs in my ears, and I've been basically trying to focus on mixing and putting the best product together. And, you know, I'm kind of at a point where I'm like, I'm probably second-guessing myself, and I'm probably, you know, making some of this stuff worse than it was. And that's fine. So I've settled on mixes I like, and I'm just going to put this out. And whatever happens, happens. Hopefully all of you all will get a chance to listen. And hopefully you all will enjoy it. Definitely have to give a big shout out to my boy Sergio, who hooked me up on the really dope cover art, because the cover art is really amazing. And definitely a big fan of what he put together. I wanted the whole video game theme, just because, one, I'm a nerd, so obviously I'm into video games, and so I was really, really, really happy that he kind of managed to hook me up with something that was really, really, really friggin' dope. Really, 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 really freaking dope. And that made me happy. So that's October 4th. Like I said, my project will be released to the public. If you go to the last actual show that I did about 4 weeks ago, I actually did a run-through where I played all 15 songs from start to finish and gave a little bit of insight as far as the writing and what inspired these songs and whatnot, and I had a lot of fun with that also. So if you go back, check the archives, you can definitely go and get a listen. Or you can wait until next Friday and you can download it for yourself. It'll be available on my Bandcamp website, so you can just look out for the link, either on my personal page or my fan page, or however you want to go about getting that. Just I'll make sure the music gets to you. So, let's see. I had an itinerary. I talked about the future shows. I talked about the mixtape. Oh, okay. One other thing I want to discuss is looking for a co-host. I would like to have a co-host for the show. Just because I know that me trying to do everything myself gets frustrating, and I get behind a whole lot, and I would definitely appreciate having someone else on here. I also think it'd be great because I know how you guys feel about my voice. I don't think my voice is all that great. I personally don't really want to hear myself talk for 2 hours every other Wednesday. That being said, I definitely will be looking for someone to share some airtime with. Don't really care if it's male or female. Just someone who's interested in discussing a myriad of subjects. Anything from politics to gender-specific issues, race issues, sexism, sexist issues, cultural issues, you know, science, religion, philosophy, sports, video games, just all going down the list, you know, just want to get a little bit of all of that. So I'm definitely going to be looking for a host. You know anyone? Hit me up. Holla at your boy. Okay. Now, I'm going to get into something that I mentioned earlier at the very beginning. If you're just tuning in, then you probably missed when I was talking about that I only had a couple things that I wanted to discuss, which is why today's show is going to be a little shorter than the show normally is. Now, I got through the future shows, and I got through the mixtape information, and now we're going to talk about something, a story that came across my timeline this morning that they kind of made me go, what? What? Okay. Now, me personally, don't mind cooking for a significant other. You know what I mean? I don't mind it. I don't feel like, you know, significant others are obligated to cook for me or for whoever they're with. You know what I mean? Don't feel like that's an obligation or a requirement in any way, shape, form, or fashion. That being said, I came across a story this morning about a blog, this food blog called 300 Sandwiches. Now, in theory, you know, most people probably listening in are like, 300 sandwiches? The fuck does that have to do with anything? Let me explain a little bit. Okay, so there's a couple. Not really sure how long that they've been together, but she's in a relationship, an interracial relationship with a white guy. I believe she's a woman of color. I'm not exactly sure with her background exactly is. But to sum the story up, her boyfriend basically issued a comment to her saying that, you know, she's 300 sandwiches away from getting an engagement ring. You know, and now when I first saw that, I kind of overlooked it. I'm sitting there thinking, well, how did he say it? You know, like, was it said like in jest or in joking, anything like that? Like, was this like, oh man, this sandwich is so great. Just have to, you know, just 300. You know, you keep making sandwiches like this, and you know, you're gonna get yourself a ring. Turns out that's not really the case. Turns out, like, it's from the sounds of it, this man required her to make 300 sandwiches in order to deem herself worthy of getting said engagement ring. Now, this whole story is kind of ridiculous. It's ridiculous for a myriad of reasons. I mean, just for the simple fact, first of all, how did you settle on 300? I mean, that's like a ridiculous number of sandwiches to make. I'm sorry. I don't even think I've cooked 300 times for somebody else, let alone cook 300 things for one person. Secondly, it's really ridiculous because it's like, the fuck you mean the food, like, you have to cook? in order to earn an engagement ring. Like, the hell? This is not a video game, you know what I mean? It's not like in Pokemon you go and you fight and then afterwards you get 36 experience points. You're like, yes, sweet, I'm only 54 away from going up to level 2. Like, what? Like, I did not comprehend. Does not really make a whole lot of sense to me. Like, so, but anyway, this woman, as I said, she started the blog, which, you know, which is her chronicling her quest to, I guess, earn an engagement ring. You know, now at this point, she's 124 sandwiches away from the promised land, or what the end goal, what the end game is. I want to know what you guys think about this. 310-982-4273. Hit up the line. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you guys think. I mean, 300 sandwiches? I'm sorry. I mean, just me personally. Like, I wish I would tell my girl, hey, you gotta make me a sandwich the next 300 days. I mean, just to backtrack, I'm a guy that likes variety. I mean, is she making a sandwich every day? Or is this like, I want to know, is this like a sandwich every day? Or is this like, you know, whenever he kind of feels like it, you know? Because then you can kind of stretch that out. You know, 300 days is, you know, is close to a year. You'll fall about like almost 2 months shy of a year. So like, is this like an everyday thing? Because me personally, I don't want sandwiches every day. I can barely eat the stuff I eat now every day. Well, you know, like that's what I want to know. How does this work? How does this operate? Because this isn't making a whole lot of sense to me. Yes, homie, I made a Pokemon reference. That's exactly what this sounds like to me. You know, it's like 300. It's like I said. It's like you have Bulbasaur. You know, you're at level 15. You know, you get the little counter at the bottom saying, "Oh, this is your EXP to the next level." And the thing is, in your mind, you know, well, sweet, when I get this EXP, you know, I'm gonna get Ivysaur next, and then eventually I'm gonna get Venusaur. I should have used Ivysaur as a reference because that probably would have made better sense. But I digress. But, you know, you already know. So you know what you end up doing? You could either continue on with life as normal, or what you could do is you could do what I and many others do, is you go into the bush and you keep fighting until you get your 300 EXP. Or, in this woman's case, she's going to make a sandwich every day for damn near a year, you know, to get to evolve to the next step. Actually, the Ivysaur reference does make, because Ivysaur could represent engagement and Venusaur could represent actual marriage. Bam, I'm fucking brilliant, yo. But, seriously, like, you're in the queue? You have the drag name? Drag, not. All right.
Okay.
Yo, what's going on?
Oh, man. I was glad I could catch the show. I was just dying. I was like, did he really just make a Pokemon reference? And I thought about it.
I sure did.
it makes sense because it is something really arbitrary that you have to do. But in a gamer's mind, though, getting that experience is not arbitrary because it's going to a certain goal. Her making 300 sandwiches is arbitrary because it doesn't speak toward anything that she could do. She could be a really shitty girlfriend. She could be just completely apathetic toward this man's life and his personality, have no affect. But as long as she makes these 300 sandwiches, she's good to go. So she gets, she's a Bulbasaur now. She gets evolved to Venusaur so she can get married. But then, you know, after 900 more sandwiches, she can evolve again into soulmate. So, I mean, where does it end? How superficial do you have to be as a person to have someone conduct such an arbitrary task in order to preface this notion that they want to actually be with, you know, your mentally handicapped behind, you know, forever until you, you know, eventually become deceased. But I just thought it was interesting. And don't get me wrong, I make sandwich jokes. My wife makes sandwich jokes too, and I like sandwiches. But why 300? Why sandwiches? Why not?
Exactly. I mean, and furthermore, just think of your favorite food. Could you imagine you telling your wife before y'all were married, hey, before I give you this ring, you have to make this 300 times?
My wife would have just said, at the time, my girlfriend would have said, oh, this is all I have to do, really? Okay. and would have laughed it off. But unfortunately, I guess we had a boring stipulation for getting married. I wanted her to at least live with me for a year. I thought that was fairly, you know, normal, and that was reasonable, so I could actually find out more about her, and she could find out more about me, and hopefully we find out throughout that process if we are actually compatible. Not, well, you know, this is sandwich number 324. Man, these are getting a little bit better every time.
Right. And that at least makes sense on some level, because, you know, when you get married, you're going to have to live with the person at that point. So something like that at least makes sense. I just didn't understand, like, this man's obsession with sandwiches and why she has to make 300 of them. Because what I did mention from the article is apparently, like, he wakes up every morning. Like, every morning he wakes up and is like, hey, how long have you been up? She'll say, oh, I've been up for 20 minutes. And then he'll be like, been up for 20 minutes? You make me a sandwich yet? Like, apparently that was like the precursor to whatever prompted him to saying this random 300 number.
I would think, as a logical, rational female, you would have to kind of draw the line somewhere to say, you know what, I understand the joke. I understand that you probably said it in sarcasm, but I'm not going to go along with that. Let's actually talk about, you know, this whole engagement thing and what are some, you know, adult stipulations around that, not this childish game that you're playing now. But I'm not really sure we only have so much information about it. I'm not sure who would really be mad at, the guy for making a sarcastic comment in the first place or her for actually following through with it. Because I hold both parties responsible for this show of ignorance.
Agree 110%. And we've got Raina who's joining us on the line.
I mean, dang, had to wait on there forever. But I agree with you guys. You know, this is ridiculous. I mean, it's, you know, just like you said, you know, to wake up in the morning, oh, you've been up for 15 or 20 minutes and you haven't made me a sandwich yet. It just shows you what kind of a man he is. You know what I mean? And then in the article, like, they mention how, you know, she's expected when she's coming from, you know, an industry party, you know what I mean, late at night, you know, she's expected to make him a sandwich. Or prepare to make him a sandwich, you know, for the following day.
Okay, I didn't read that part.
You know?
What?
Oh,
yeah. Let me get that
out. Yeah, so, like, there was one vignette where she had gotten back from some movie premiere, and it was 11 o'clock at night, and she was basically preparing all of the stuff for the next day. And she, there's a couple of parts where they describe her as making sandwiches so that he wouldn't fuss or yell at her, because apparently he comes at her with some vicious tongue lashings from time to time. Let's see. You know, so it just doesn't sound like the healthiest of relationships.
Doesn't sound healthy at all. If son is that upset over a sandwich, especially to the point where he probably sat at home mad that she wasn't there to make it when he easily could have got up 10 minutes later and had one.
Yeah, I was going to say, it almost reminded me a little bit of, I read an article this week about one of the Real Housewives in New Jersey has a book called Love Italian Style. And in the book, her husband is in the book for some reason. It's supposed to be her book, but her husband's in there giving advice. And so at one point, her husband's, talking about, if your wife says that she's not into it, turn her around and rip her clothes off. Because women want to be dominated.
Wow.
I think you might have posted an article on that. Or someone I saw posted something about that. I saw that cross my timeline.
Yeah, I did. And he says things, like men are simple, just give us what we want. And it's like, it's just so unfortunate that there are people who think of relationships that way. Yes, he might, he might be a gourmet in the kitchen. He might spend more time in there. But there's clearly an issue of entitlement when somebody wakes up and asks you why you haven't gotten up and made them, a sandwich or breakfast or why there's no dinner on the table. Or, in Melissa Gorga's case, she can't even go to CVS to pick up a prescription if her husband is coming home. Because he can't come home to an empty house. Like, what are you, two?
The hell?
Like, you know what I mean? Like, what are you? Are you afraid of the dark, too? Does someone have to hold your hand? You know what I mean? Like, what is the deal?
That sounds crazy. Like someone had been coddled for a good part of their life to expect something like that. Somebody's mother had to have been coddling him. But it's ridiculous. Why would you say this?
I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think what you're seeing in these cases are examples clearly of male privilege. It's this idea that I have the prize. The prize meaning, the title
engagement
of
ring.
Mrs. or the engagement ring.
You have to earn the right to have my last name.
Right, you have to earn it. Exactly. Just like, Melissa Gorga feels like she has to do anything and everything to please her husband or he'll leave her. And, there's a pathology around that that's just, it seems real deep and I just don't have time to get into it. what I mean? But, and some women feel obliged because we live in a society that tells women that your value is in men and how men perceive you and whether or not a man wants to give you his last name. And
whether
it's unfortunate.
Whether you're just wanted in general, actually,
how
desirable you are.
Exactly. It's just really unfortunate that there are that we have that we have that way of thinking in our society. And even if you're not raised in a household that's ingrained in a male child, like, hey, you're a man, therefore you should expect these things. They get them from the world around them. I mean, look at any movie. You can take any movie where there's some dweeby, nerdy, couch surfing, kind of guy. And that's not to say that he has no value, But the movie teaches that even a man who is like this should be able to expect a supermodel.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a girlfriend. You know what I mean? And when you have these sorts of, images in the media, you know, it's very easy for a man to go out into the world and to think that this is what he should expect. He should expect a video vixen or a Nicki Minaj on his arm. No matter how unrealistic that, you know, that image is, you know, because that's a constructed image. You know, that's, you know, Nicki Minaj doesn't wake up looking like Nicki Minaj, you know.
Right.
So.
That had to evolve from a lower life form. But anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
I can't look at her and say woman, because I saw what she used to look like, and she used to like a woman. Now she kind of looks like some type of alien type creature thing created by the images of many males projecting. That's what I see. But it's, what did I want
to
say?
But clearly there are people who are attracted to that, is the point. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the overall point
is that
people are attracted to that image.
Of course.
They have unrealistic expectations going into the world of what kinds of things that they can expect from people. You know,
that's what you reminded me of. The other guy with the unrealistic expectations who came, his story came out around at the same time today. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, I think I know you're talking about the guy who was talking about he wants, he has a laundry list of things, including that he doesn't want it. He doesn't, under any circumstances, want to date a black woman.
I saw something about this, but I couldn't find an article on that.
It's on Gawker. I'm pretty sure I can send it to you. But it's a huge list. I mean, he sounds like a really racist 2-year-old, you know, having a tantrum. Like, I don't want her to be fat, and I want her to be height, weight, proportional, and I want her to have a job, and I don't want her to have tattoos, and I want her to be a redhead, and I want her to be anything but black, and I want her to be, like, it's just this really long list. And then you look at the guy, and you're like, but you're not really that attractive, and then given your personality, that takes you down to, like, at least a minus 10, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it's pretty sad. So.
Oh, geez. I'm looking at the list now. Tattoos just represent white trash or someone that's been in prison.
I know. It's just a host of slut shaming and classism and sexism and racism. It is like the white privilege checklist. You know what I mean?
Like, this stuff is ridiculous.
White veil privilege.
I can't
checklist.
Date a girl if she's still friends with any men that she's been intimate with. What?
Yeah.
Especially black men. They're bad. Can't have any black men inside you. That was actually one of the stipulations too.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Yep.
You might as well just go on Amazon, get his Forever Alone kit, and then just.
You know what he reminds me of? I don't know if you guys ever watched Mad TV, but there was a skit on Mad TV called Lowered Expectations. He sounds exactly like one of those Lowered Expectations
advertisements.
Oh, it was hilarious. Like, they would have people on there that were like, you know, I'm really into cats. And, like, they'd be like, I'm really... really into cats. Like, it would be something really weird like that, and it would be really creepy. And it'd just be like a whole bunch of, like, folks like that, just one after another, and those little skits that they did. It was hilarious. If you get some time, you know, maybe, you know, YouTube them. But they're pretty funny. So.
Oh, geez.
But yeah, 300 sandwiches.
This list is ridiculous. Yeah, I just had another light bulb moment where I'm like, it's hilarious. Every time I'm not a racist, then goes on to list laundry list of reasons why you are a racist.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
He's like, I'm not a racist. Just because I don't like the appearance of black people doesn't make me racist.
Right.
All right.
I don't like the appearance of every person of a particular race.
It's not that I hate black people. I just think that, you know, every other race except black people are phenomenal and worth dating.
Right.
just not black folks.
Right.
He's like, I'm not racist, but blacks make up the majority of inmates in prisons. Wonder why that is.
But yeah, 62% of all reported arrests are of white persuasion, according to the FBI statistics. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I do want to say one thing going back to the 300 sandwiches thing. A lot of the sandwiches on her blog look phenomenal.
Really?
Yeah, they actually look quite awesome. Unfortunately, it's just, you know, I mean, if you just read the recipes, I'm sure you'll it'll be fine. But you have to ignore, you know, the fact that she seems to be in an emotionally abusive relationship.
Right. Wow, some of these do look good. I mean, I don't even eat meat, but geez.
There's some things you could just take off, like, well, you know, there's some things she doesn't have, like she has on there that aren't even meat, you know, like the pieces and cream cheese sandwich, or like, you know, you could just take off like the ham or the pancetta and it would just be like the fried egg and like whatever else she had on there, and it probably would still be awesome.
Yeah, this looks phenomenal. However, it's just like, I don't know. Like, I couldn't deal with eating one thing for 300 days.
I don't think she does it. I think she said that she was doing something like 3 sandwiches a week is what she's making him. So
someone gets to prolong this out.
Well, she decided that it was too much to do it all the time, you know?
Well, I would think so. Eventually, because if I were her, I would just say, screw it. You getting PB&J this week. Next week, you get grilled cheese all week. Her boyfriend would hate me if I were his girlfriend, because he would get the same shit. I'd be like, hey, I switched it up. You get wheat bread instead of white bread today.
Ooh.
I gave you an extra spread of jelly this time.
Okay, this one looks really good, but I know you're going to hate one of the ingredients.
it's either Nutella or mayonnaise or mushrooms.
Okay, so it's a banana bread sandwich, okay? It has ripe bananas, melted butter, sugar, egg, vanilla extract, baking soda, cinnamon, ground nutmeg, a pinch of salt, wheat flour, walnuts, and Nutella. And it looks amazing.
So you have all that greatness. What's the Nutella there?
Because
what Nutella is? That sandwich right there reminds me of one of those equations where it'd be like, find the answer. 3 plus 9 minus 4 times 12 minus 30 divided by 5 subtract 2 add 19 in parentheses, then it'd be times 0. You know what that 0 is? Nutella, because it ruins everything.
No,
doesn't matter what
the answer
in parentheses was.
No.
The Nutella, that is 0, just cancels out the whole equation.
False.
Just
Nutella
ruins the whole
everything.
Thing.
Awesome. It makes everything awesome.
Just completely ruins it. That's why.
It's just ignorance on your part. Anyway.
No, I see nothing but the facts, okay? I will be the Alex Jones of the anti-Nutella campaign.
The anti-Nutella movement. Oh, my goodness.
Yes,
so
I will be the
conspiracy.
Alex Jones of that movement.
It's a conspiracy. Oh, my
goodness.
Yes.
It's created by the U.S. government. They want you to get addicted to that brown goodness because white people are going to go extinct.
Oh, my goodness. Terrible. That reminds me, Marcus. Did you see this video? It's a music video, like a rap music video, and it's basically likening, like, food, like the food we eat, to drugs. It is the most bizarre music video ever, and I'm pretty sure that the song sucks. At least in my opinion, it sucks. Have you seen it?
I have no idea what that is.
Okay, I'll have to send it to you after the show. Never mind.
I can only imagine how, like, I bet you whoever did it probably thought they were being really clever, too.
Oh, they really
did. They probably thought
they
were like, yeah, banana yellow is close to E-pills, yeah.
No, that's not what it was. It was like someone would have, like, a soda, and they'd be on the street, but they had, like, the soda in, like, a paper bag instead of, like, you know, a 40-ounce. And then there was another one where, like, there were some boys on the corner and, like, people were trading cash for, like, powdered donuts. They had the powder all around their mouths and then, like, they'd be scratching. You know what I mean? Then there was this guy. He was, like, a fake Neo. Or not fake Neo, but a fake Morpheus. And, yeah, it was just a bunch of stuff. Like, and then at one point, like, the guy who's taking a sip of the 40, it's almost like the 40, or not the 40, but it's like the orange soda. It's almost like the orange soda is a gun, because, like, at one point, they kind of do the special effect where it looks like he's blown the back of his brain out. Yeah, it's really weird. And then people are having, like, heart attacks and, like, you know, like, overdoses on, you know, food. So, like, there's one guy who's got, like, nacho cheese sauce coming out of his nose and ears. Very weird.
Is it worse than Miley Cyrus's video?
Oh my god, there is. Which video?
Wait, I was gonna say,
that's why I said video.
Huh?
That's why I said video.
Okay. I don't really think there's much that can be worse than Miley Cyrus videos at this point. Like, you know, I just don't think.
I don't think you get much worse. Now, being completely sexist, right here, there were parts that I enjoyed from Miley's video, although the parts I enjoyed had nothing to do with Miley herself. But Miley herself,
twerking and stuff,
you know. Now, backtracking from that, I don't think you get much worse than Miley Cyrus videos. Because if it wasn't the corny Hannah Montana stuff, then it's whatever she's doing now.
Now, exactly. No, I was going to say, the one thing I will say that I will compliment is some of her styling in the 23 video. Some of the styling in the 23 video is pretty tight. But that's not Miley stuff. That's her stylist. Kudos to your stylist.
Is this the song, Wine Country?
Wine Country.
That's the song.
No, I'll send it to you. No, I don't think so. I'll send it to you later. But yeah, no, there's not much worse than a Miley Cyrus video. I feel like every video is sort of a cry for help.
I don't know. Kesha's videos are a close second.
Oh, of course.
No.
Kesha is like that drunk blonde girl that always gets dragged out at 3 a.m. by a bouncer.
3 a.m. Yeah, but see, you don't feel as bad for Kesha, I feel like, as you do for Miley. Like, Miley is just, she came in the club messed up. You know what I mean? Like, she came trashed. You know? So by the end of the night, you just, you can't even enjoy yourself. Because you're just watching her, like, something is going to happen to this girl if I don't keep watching her. Like, she's going to, like, you know, pass out and no one will know until the morning, or, you know what I mean? Like, we just have to watch her, you know? So. But.
Very
magical. All right, man, I'm going to have to get off here. It's nice talking to you.
All right, good hearing from
you,
homie.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, Raina, for coming on, too. Did you
actually
send me a link, too, to this woman's blog so I can see the sandwiches?
Oh, sure. No problem.
I'm honestly surprised this hasn't been on Jezebel.
No, it was on Jezebel.
Oh, okay. Okay, I must have missed it.
Yeah. Yeah, you must have missed it. It was everywhere. I mean, Salon, New York, you know, New York Times. Everybody's written about this. Kind of interesting was some of the tweets on, like, on Twitter about it, like, you know, people like Roland Martin and other folks were like, you know, what's the problem? If she wants to please her man, blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, it's not a problem that she wants to please her man. Like, if you're in a relationship, there's nothing wrong with wanting to please your significant other. It's just when your significant other is an asshole who's entitled.
Right.
And holding an engagement ring over your head. You know?
Right. Like, come on, come on. Almost there.
It didn't have to be sex. Right. It could have been foot rubs or massages.
Exactly.
Right. It's one.
It could have been 300 blowjobs. Hey. If it had been 300 blowjobs, there probably would have been a little bit more outrage.
Yeah.
I'd be cool with that.
I don't know. After a while,
but I'm just saying.
I'd be cool with that.
Oh, so now all of a sudden it becomes cool. So sandwiches is not so cool.
That's fine now.
Blow jobs, it's all fine.
Well, I mean, you say that, but one, having one every day for almost a year, you know what that would do to your skin? Your epidermis?
Yeah. All of that.
I call that high school.
All of that saliva. Oh, my goodness. You went to wait a second, Marcus. That's got to be an interesting story because you went to an all-boys school.
Hold up, I knew you were going to go there too. Hold up.
The guy had dry mouth. Is that what you think?
Because I knew somehow I knew that was going to come up. No pun intended.
I'm just saying.
I know that you were joking. I did have a girlfriend in high school. I walked right into that. It's fine. It's fine.
You did walk into that one.
It's fine. I'll just consider it payback for what I said to you earlier. It's fine.
Mhm. Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody gets one.
Anyway, that 300 sandwiches thing was a mess. Is there?
That was absolutely, absolutely ridiculous. Wait. Okay, I have a question for you then.
Okay.
What's the most ridiculous thing you've ever been asked to do by a significant other? Just going off tangent for a second.
Most ridiculous thing I've ever been asked to do by a significant other. This is a really, I mean, I don't think I've ever been asked to do something that was completely ridiculous. No, I can't think of anything. Because usually I was the one with the really weird sort of requests, but that was not like, they weren't like things that were like, you know, degrading or terrible or, you know, out of their way to do. It was just, I was just the one that had unusual, you know, things I
request.
Wanted to do. Yeah. So,
did you hear about the guy and the girl, they went out on like two dates. And he broke it off, and then she wrote a super long blog on it, and then forwarded some of their sexting texts and photos to his bosses.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's terrible.
I didn't hear about that, but I mean, revenge porn it has been a growing problem for a while now. You know, It's just so unfortunate. I mean, it's not really new, but it's an increasing problem because of technology, you know?
I agree.
It's just really unfortunate, you know, that people do those sorts of things. You know that when you're dealing with somebody and they send you something like that, that you shouldn't show it to somebody else, or you should know that you shouldn't show it to someone else because that's private. But the second that someone gets angry, all of a sudden they feel like anything is fair game, and it's like, no, it's not.
It's not.
You know,
shouldn't
it's
be.
It's really not. It shouldn't be. You know, especially if you ever called yourself caring for that person.
Right.
You know. But just from an ethical
that's how
standpoint,
I always,
it's
that's
like,
how I always looked at it. I always looked at it as, you know, whenever I got, you know, special photos and whatnot, like that, that's just it. Like, I wasn't going to go, you know, sell it to some porn site, you know, send it off somewhere. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, one, I don't personally care to do stuff like that because that's rude. And secondly, no one deserves that. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
they
absolutely not.
Someone thought enough of you that they wanted to share private photos or whatever with you. And the least you could do is not be an asshole and,
right,
you know, show the same respect, you know?
Yeah. I think also what's interesting, too, to note about this is that the girl went and showed it to his bosses, which kind of shows you kind of, you know, how sexism affects these things in our culture. Because if she had just put this on the internet, it probably would not have been a big deal unless his boss came across it. You know what
right.
I mean? Because when it comes to guys, like, no one really cares. It's only when it comes
right.
to girls
put,
that we care because
right.
the slut-shaming factor and, you know, all of that. You know?
Exactly.
But it's unfortunate when it happens to anyone, male or female, because when you send something like that, you don't expect to, you know, it to be used against you that way, you know?
Exactly. I mean, but that's, I feel like that's just people kind of showing their true colors to some degree. I mean, they, you know, the second they turn on you or something goes bad, their first thought is, well, I need to get them back. How can I get them back? Oh, I can do this. Like, I feel like, because I feel like regardless of how bad of a breakup you may have with someone, and in their case, it didn't even seem like it was really a breakup. It just seemed like they went on two dates, and he decided
yeah.
to break it off after two dates.
Yeah.
But,
well, it just also
like, going
has
after,
to show you how, oh, go ahead. Sorry, my bad.
No, I was going to say, you know, putting the photos online would have been below the belt, but to go after someone's job, try to get them fired,
yeah,
is way, way below the belt. That's not cool.
Yeah, just completely over
that's,
the line.
That's,
you know?
that's really ridiculous. I mean, that just screams that, like, whoever this woman, obviously had much deeper issues than just being, you know, upset that, you know, whatever they had going on didn't progress where she wanted it to or thought it would go.
Right. And I think it just also goes to show you just how careful, you know, we all have to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When it comes to doing those types of things, you know, it can unfortunately come back and bite you in the ass. I mean, that's just the society that we live in, you know. And maybe it shouldn't be that way. You know what I mean? But it is. You know, and that's why,
right.
you know, I warn, you know, my younger relatives, you know, who are teenagers now, like, you know, the dangers of sexting, you know,
right.
and all of this sorts of things, because you don't know, you know, that stuff can come back and haunt you, you know?
Right.
I mean,
that's why they always advise, you know, when you do send pictures, or if you do, just, you know, make sure your face or nothing, you know, where that can be used to identify you is in the photo also.
And I think now they also have services where, like, you can send someone the picture where it won't let you take a screenshot or anything like that, but it only
yeah,
allows them to see it for, like, a certain amount of time. I think
yeah, Snap, there's an app
that.
Called Snapchat. I mean, you can use it just for regular chatting and whatnot also, but yeah, the photo feature on there, from my understanding, you select a picture. Like, if I wanted to send you a picture, for example, I select like a time amount, so I get to dictate how long you get to see this photo. And I think the longest is like 10 seconds.
Mm,
and
okay.
You'll get it, you'll get to see it for 10 seconds, and that's it. It disappears. It disappears from the window completely.
Ah.
That's how it's been explained to me. And I was like, that's nifty.
Yeah.
You can't screenshot.
Yeah, that's what I heard, is that you can't screenshot. Which is a really nice feature. Yeah, so it's ladies and gentlemen, if you are going to sex with Snapchat, please. keep yourself from potential embarrassment.
It'll do you wonders. You know, you can share those intimate photos you want to share, and you don't have to worry about anyone else really finding out or seeing it. Which is great.
Also, one thing that will also, you can't really necessarily, depend on, thinking that you know someone, you know what I mean? But maybe also trying to get to know someone before you do that,
Exactly.
At least, more than two dates.
Yeah, true shit. Very, very... Very, very, very true. Sometimes you get caught in the moment, which goes to show we need to not get caught in the moment, or try not to get caught up in the heat of the moment or anything like that. Because, like I said, you never know who exactly it is you're talking to, and what exactly their motives might be if they were to get there. Hands on, a photo or video of you.
Not to say that you're to blame if that situation happens to you. That's not the point.
Again,
that's
very
just
true.
To say to protect yourself, because the main thing is this woman and whoever engages in this sort of revenge porn shit, they're the people to blame. They're being. Because no one gives these pictures and say, yes, spread them. Spread them all across the land. Spread them on porn sites and spread them to my boss. You know what I mean? No one gives someone a picture with that in mind. You know what I mean? So really, they violated a trust. What I mean? Regardless of whether or not you sat there and explained to them that I only want to share this with you,
right?
It's sort of implied, because especially in this culture, in most cultures, most people are very sort of private about sex, and even when they're not necessarily completely private about sex, they're private about something as intimate as naked photos, so. Just keep that in mind that, you should try to protect yourself as best as possible. But if it happens to you, it's not your fault.
Right. It's not your fault. Because, a sheep who looks like a sheep that you've gotten to know can still be a wolf after a certain nerve gets struck or after a certain point. Some people out here will actually go to the extreme lengths to, to get something as, what some would say, as small as a photo or a video of some sort,
Right.
Just be smart.
Just protect yourself. That's all. Mm-mm-mm. That's a terrible, terrible story, Dan.
I was surprised, and what actually surprised me more than the story itself was the fact that I actually saw a couple tweets. I was in the middle of you know, working, so I couldn't tweet or actually kind of keep up with it. But I actually saw people who were like, good for her. And I was kind of confused. I'm like, wait, huh? Because a couple of the stories I read, they tried to paint it as, like, the guy is the asshole because he broke up with her. And so she decided to get revenge by releasing the photos, sending the photos and whatnot to his bosses.
Wow. That's
and, like,
crazy.
I saw people who were like, good for her, you know, great.
I mean, even if he did do something that was, you know, wrong to her, like, even if she felt like he did something harmful, you know, if it was really that harmful and it's unlawful, just go to the police. You know what I mean? And if it's not that harmful, I mean, that's just sort of the, you know, that's just sort of the risk that one takes when one dates. You know what I mean? You open yourself to being hurt, and you open yourself up to disappointment, and that just happens. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe it just has to do with, you know, how some of us are raised in this culture. You know, I think, you know, that maybe there is something to this Mr. Rogers generation shit. You know, some of us have just been told that we're too fucking special. You know?
And, agreed. You know, there's 110%.
There's nothing that special about you that, you know, that you should not expect, you know, some disappointment at some point in your life.
Right. You know? It happens.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact of the matter is, no matter how much you try to protect yourself from it, it happens. It's just one of those things that seems to manifest itself, and it's not anything that we have any control over,
right.
Which is the sucky part about it.
Yeah.
But that's how life and relationships and whatnot work out. They work out fantastic, and when they don't, sucks.
Yeah, this is how it is. No? That's the game.
Yeah. This is the whole risk reward, you know. Is the risk worth the reward? Well, depends on if it works out.
Yeah, that's probably another question that you need to ask yourself before you hit send.
Oh yeah. Like, is this worth it? Is this good? Hope so.
Mm-mm. Oh, man. Anyway. yeah. Sorry. This is really unfortunate. Tough break, guy. You know, tough break.
Yeah, that's
unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate.
Yeah,
There needs to be. Is there some kind of law? Like, me? I don't know. Maybe
I'm pretty sure he can
law.
Sue. I saw somewhere that the guy could actually probably sue.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He can sue primarily because she like defamed his character by sending it to like his place of work.
Right.
Or something like
that.
Or tried to
like,
slander
yeah,
his name
like
or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, it seems like he can definitely sue. So yeah.
If I were him, I would be getting every cent. I would tell my lawyer, I want to squeeze out every cent that you can get.
And then some.
Yep. Yeah. I don't care if I got to snatch the old crusty expired ramen noodles off a refrigerator. Give me them joints. You're going to learn today.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm talking old Super Mario cartridges, you know,
yep.
With dust bunnies on them. I don't care. Yeah. No,
yep.
I feel you.
Snatching the joints. Like, damn it, give me the cobwebs, too. Them joints probably valuable.
Too funny. So did you hear, have you heard anything about the new GTA game? Have you played it?
I have not. See, here's the thing with me. I'm not a big Grand Theft Auto guy. Like, I'm sorry, I kind of outgrew, and I'm not trying to put myself on some pedestal or some shit, but I kind of got tired of the whole, hey, you can steal cars and rob, and there are hoes in the game. I don't care about that. Like,
yeah. You've kind of outgrown it.
it got old to me, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of ironic coming from a guy who still plays Sonic the Hedgehog in Super Mario, but see that I've outgrown that stuff. But like, I don't know. Like, I was just never a big. I was just never really.
Well,
please tell me you didn't say brony.
Yes, at least you're not a brony.
Oh Jesus! Don't even start that.
You could
please
be worse.
Don't start
that. Sonic the Hedgehog is, you know, being a Sonic the Hedgehog fan is way better than being a brony.
I will devour a tub of Nutella before I become a brony.
Oh, that's funny.
I will devour a tub of mushrooms doused in Nutella.
Before I become a brony. I don't think anyone would want to do that, actually. That sounds pretty disgusting.
Yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know what a brony is, bronies are grown adult men with an unhealthy obsession with My Little Pony.
Unhealthy being the key word.
Yes. Not that just, you know, they think it's cool, they've seen an episode or two. Way beyond that.
Yeah.
Way beyond that.
I was going to say, though, about the GTA thing, there was a female blogger who said that she liked the game, but she had some criticism about the stereotypical and misogynistic depictions of women in the game. She gave the game, like, a 9, but, like, the internet apparently caught fire because she said that it was misogynistic. And a bunch of male gamers had started a petition to get her fired.
I mean, it's not like she said anything that was wrong. It is. And I'm sure,
and
the funny part is they completely
overlooked the fact that she gave the whole game a 9. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's the simple fact that they heard a buzzword that they didn't like, and it set them off. And I think that's ridiculous. I mean, look, it's like, the vast majority of things that we grew up liking, enjoying, partaking in were probably misogynistic or deeply rooted in patriarchy to a degree, you know? So if you like something, you don't have to make excuses for why you like it. You just have to be able to acknowledge that it may be misogynistic and it probably is problematic to some degree. Like, I love hip hop music. I love it, you know. I listen to it a couple times a day. It would, like, I couldn't get upset though if someone were to point out how sexist, you know, the genre is, and how they say really hateful things about women. I couldn't get mad at something like that because it's true, you know.
Mm. Right.
You know?
It's true. No, it's absolutely true. But there was actually a really good video that came out that was saying, you know, does gaming need Anita Sarkeesian's feminism? And they were talking about that whole, you know, incident with the GTA and what have you, and, you know, talking about how, you know, the gaming and this, you know, like 45% of gamers are actually women, and, you know, how, you know, these incidents show that a lot of what Anita Sarkeesian says about gaming and the gaming culture is true. You know, when you have a woman who says that she likes GTA, GTA is a great game, but there also happen to be all of these misogynistic, you know, stereotypes, you know. So.
I agree 110%. You know what? I'm going to use that as a good little segue to plug my show in 6 weeks. Sounds weird to say in 6 weeks, but I already explained other shows I'm doing in 2 weeks. Raina is going to be on with me in 2 weeks talking about the friend zone and nice guy/nice girl syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that.
Yep.
And that's going to be phenomenal. And then on top of that, in 4 weeks from now, going to be talking about the NCAA. Then 6 weeks from now, finally going to have the show on something we were just talking about with racism and sexism and nerd
culture. Yeah, nerd geek culture.
Nerd culture, and that's gonna be a great show. You know, it'd be really cool if I could get that woman on.
Anita Sarkeesian. It may be difficult because she's been, as much as she's been harassed, I'm sure she's not, suspicious of people who she doesn't know attempting to contact her, you know?
Oh, best believe I totally understand. And
yeah,
not to mention, I would hate for it, and on top of that, I would kind of hate for her to come here and then to have somebody catch whiff of it, you know, via us promoting it, and all of a sudden we have a whole bunch of, you know, fanboys coming to troll on our chat room.
Right. Yeah, we're trying to call in the show, you know?
Right.
So,
you know.
Yeah.
In theory, you sound great.
Without,
lots of... Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say, you can't say her name without people getting riled up. You know, someone is going to get riled up if you say her name.
Yeah, most deaf. So it'd definitely be nice to have her on, but in any case, still gonna have a pretty dope panel and pretty dope show for that one. And that one will be on November 6th, a couple weeks before Thanksgiving.
Sweet.
Alrighty. Well, I only pegged this show for 90 minutes, so I got less than 10 seconds to sign out. Peep the archives. Thank you, Raina, for calling in. See you guys in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Well, it's recording now. The show is over now. Oh, damn, she hung up too. Well, shit.